Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a professional experimenter, speaker, and an entrepreneur. She spent a few years in the UI UX web interaction design industry, including a couple years working at Zappos, until she was struck by some major life circumstances and she suffered a nasty spell of life burnout. This is where she decided to redesign her life from the ground up. So she spent the next year speaking around the world, podcasting, and writing. Then in August of 2016, she co-founded a business called Picture This Clothing, and it absolutely took off as a viral hit from her very first tweet. This is a really, really cool story. Now, let's hack Jamie Newberry. So just before we get into the conversation with the professional experimenter that we are about to speak to, let's talk about experimentation and learning. We need to educate ourselves if we're going to grow, and we need to experiment if we're going to succeed. Luckily, I can bring you Skillshare. With over 3 million members and more than 17,000 classes, Skillshare is the Netflix for online learning. You can take classes in brand strategy, social media marketing, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. In fact, this past week, I took a course by Dominic Price and the Atlassian team called Building Great Teams in Today's World, and it was phenomenal. Skillshare classes are taught by industry experts and experienced professionals. They're perfect if you're looking to build your career or start the side hustle of your dreams. Skillshare is giving my listeners a one-month, absolutely free, unlimited access trial to over 17,000 classes. Go to Skillshare.com/hack and start your free month today. Once again, that's Skillshare.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. I'm going to say that. I'm excited to have you on the show. It's been a while. We've been waiting, and I think we're going to have fun.
Oh, awesome. I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. My pleasure. Let's jump into it, shall we?
Let's do.
All right. Jamie, you wear many hats, but today we're talking to you, the entrepreneur. So, Jamie, could you tell me, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I think it's kind of living by a philosophy of don't talk about it, just do it. Like, don't talk about it, just do it. Do the thing. Whatever the thing is, do it.
So is this something that sort of has threaded through your whole existence or just in business?
It does thread through my existence to some degree. However, I think in my professional life, it's something that has taken me a lot of practice to get better at. So I wasn't always good at that. I used to be one of those people who's like, oh, I wish I could. But my dad was actually a great example of, oh, just do the thing, whatever it is. Don't talk, just do. So I think he kind of instilled that in me. And it took me a while to kind of really figure out and kind of practice what that means. But once I started practicing it and making a habit of it, doing small things, you know, do one small thing every day toward whatever goal it is you have, it changes your life.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And I'm sorry that I'm here having you talking about it for half an hour rather than
I think sharing the information is also valuable. You know, when you've learned something and you want to share it to help other people, if it's for the good of knowledge and I don't know, hopefully preventing my own stumbling blocks too. You know, like if I can share anything that will save somebody time or help them in their journey, like that's hugely valuable.
That's true. I mean, it's like science or anything, right? We should be sharing our knowledge so that other people don't have to start off back where we had to start. You can kind of extend the knowledge forward and give everybody a leg up who wants to start today. But looking back, Jamie, is there or was there a specific sort of time or like something that happened that sparked a change? Because I don't, looking back at your career, there wasn't like you were always an entrepreneur. Like you didn't, I don't think you were mowing lawns when you were 12 years old, like the stereotypical entrepreneur.
I was washing dishes at age 12, a matter of fact.
There you go. So you were.
You know, yes, I should make sure you finished your question before I just jump in.
No, go for it. You know what I'm going to say is like, what was that defining sort of thing that put you onto this path?
Well, it is interesting, and I'll give you kind of a long answer, and you stop me if I get going too long, but I did get a job. My first job, I was 12 years old. I got paid in cash. I was washing dishes at the one restaurant that was in our very small town where I grew up. And my dad actually, you know, he was very big on like, if you want something, like work for it. You know, he taught me the value of hard work, and I was able to get my first checking account and credit card and stuff like that by the time I was 13 or 14. And, you know, I started learning how to handle money, how to save, how to invest, and how to, you know, that's one aspect of it. But then just the hard work aspect kind of threads throughout my life. I lost my older brother when I was 11, and that had an impact on my life that my parents were kind of like, you know, you have to turn negatives into positives, and life is very short. And I think teaching us, my sister and I, that lesson really instilled a lot of like, you know, if you're not happy doing what you're doing, you have to take action and change the path. And so I never really spent very much time doing a lot of stuff I didn't like doing. I went to college, and I was a metal sculpture major. And so, you know, I got a degree in 1998 as a metal sculptor, and then realized I needed to figure out how to make a living. So I taught myself how to do web design and moved to the San Francisco Bay Area, ended up getting a job in the, you know, the web.com era and at a startup back then. And I was a production artist. I moved up very quickly and started doing, you know, more graphic design stuff. And I basically taught myself how to code websites. I taught myself Photoshop and how to do those things. I didn't learn that as a metal sculptor student, but I taught myself a bunch of those skills, and I ended up with this really amazing job in the startup area and in, you know, in the Bay Area back then. And then eventually I moved back to Las Vegas, where I'm from, and got a web design job there. And I'm going to really hyperspeed through my entire life career. But, you know, I became a web designer, which I was so excited about. I was really, really passionate about this web thing that had come out, you know, and I thought it was all this cool stuff. I can make websites. And so I taught myself how to do that. And then I kept learning from all these cool people that were doing things, and Flash. I learned Flash, and I was doing Flash websites for a while. I ended up becoming a partner in an animation / interactive studio. And we had clients all over, mostly big advertising agencies in Chicago and San Francisco, New York. So we got to work with clients doing great stuff, you know, Disney, Nintendo, you name it. Like, we were working with great big brands and stuff, doing really cool work. And then I guess, like, if I fast forward a little bit further too, there's another kind of pivotal moment in my life where, so I'm, you know, I'm doing this thing, I'm growing in my career, have my own, you know, I'm a partner in a studio. We end up closing things with the economy shift in 2008. I end up joining Zappos.com in 2009. 2009, crazy year. I basically closed a business I loved because of the economy. I had my second child, went through a divorce. My dad, who had a history of PTSD and visits with veteran VA hospital mental ward units. So, you know, I spent some time with my dad and I wasn't administered. I wasn't in the ward, but he had another sort of lapse back into some stuff. So he spent some time that year. It was just a crazy year, right? And then I had just started this job at Zappos, and it was intense and crazy. But I did some really amazing stuff while I was there. My first job was to help lead the overhaul of the look and feel of the website. And then when I was done, that took about a year. And then I ended up with the mobile apps, the very first mobile apps for Zappos. leading the team that built those. And so that kind of like bridged this interesting gap from the web world into the mobile world. And I was starting to run out of gas a little on the web stuff. And you know, like I'd been through all this cool stuff, director of user experience and partner in an animation shop, and then move over to Zappos. And I'm like a product manager and a manager of user experience and doing all this cool stuff. And then after like 2 years at Zappos, and Zappos was a great place to work, nothing negative to say about it, but it wasn't me. After owning my own company for a few years, like I just needed to own my time again. I needed to be able to, I was a single mom at this time now, you know, fast forward to like 2011. And so 2009, 2011, I'm at Zappos doing great stuff, you know, overhaul visual website, help build a design team, and then the mobile apps. And then by the time we got iPad, Android, and iPhone apps out the door, I was just done. Like I was ready to go do my own thing. So I left Zappos, and I didn't really have a plan other than I want to do my own thing again. I want to be able to drive my kids to school. I want to be there when they have breakfast. I want to be there when they go to bed at night. And that wasn't happening with my gig at Zappos. So I quit, and then I ended up getting a really cool remote job a couple months later. Like I was doing my own thing and it was working out pretty well for a couple months there. And then I got this crazy offer, one of those ones where they're like, what would it take to get you to come here and work for us? And so it was this awesome opportunity. I became the director of user experience for a really cool mobile application dev shop. And I did that until 2012. And in 2012, I lost my dad. And this was a huge, huge, it also, you know, so I'd lost my brother, I lost my mom, and I didn't really highlight that. That happened in 2002, but that was a pretty big impact in my life. But I loved my work, and my work really saved me. I felt like I poured everything into my work. I didn't have kids at the time. That was what I did. I worked, and it made my work better, that emotion and my hunger for what I did and my love for what I did kind of gave me a place to put my emotion. And then 10 years later, 2012, I lose my dad. And very unexpected motorcycle accident. He left my house and he was going to his house and basically a car turned in front of him. And that, I thought, I've had loss before. I know how to handle this. I'll pour myself into my work. But instead of it fueling me, I felt more and more disconnected from it. So I literally like went in this downward spiral across the next 8 months and I burned out. I just couldn't do it anymore. I literally did not enjoy what I was doing anymore. And I knew I had to change things. So I quit my job in 2013, no plan, no idea what I was going to do, about 6 months of savings in the bank, luckily. And I don't think I would have been so bold maybe if I didn't have that, but I'd been socking away my pennies. And so I had about 6 months of savings in the bank. I figured for 3 months, I can just figure out what the heck I'm going to do. And that started me on this crazy journey of doing. And that was really, you know, I'd always kind of fly by the seat of my pants, make sure I'm happy, love what I do, check, 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 you know, doing all those things. But I had always made the decision to be a designer. I loved doing that and being a designer and helping these amazing companies. But then one day I didn't, and it didn't feel valuable. I didn't feel like I was putting my time towards something that brought happiness to the world. I was making context management apps, you know, that didn't really feel like it supported my bigger desire now. You know, you lose somebody, sometimes you're like, what am I doing with my time? Is it really meaningful? And for me, it wasn't. At this point in my life, I needed to make changes. So I asked myself what was important, and I made this list, and I just started doing things that were important to me. I started writing. I didn't do design work anymore for a while. I just stopped. And I did do some project management stuff to keep some money coming in while I kind of experimented, and I helped people write business plans. I had some experience with that and running my own company and stuff in the past. So, you know, I got work doing whatever came in that felt right. And it just kind of led to one thing led to another. I got a coaching certification. I started teaching people how I went from burnout to coaching people and to doing like what I was doing. And then I started doing this talk called No Excuses. And I'm a big Apple girl, Apple fanatic. And Steve Jobs had done the, you know, there's this Stanford video where he talks about, well, he says poke life. Like once you realize that you can poke life and something will happen, something will come out on the other side, like you can poke it, you can change it. And once you realize that, you'll never be the same. And I was like, I'm going to test that theory. And so I just poking life. They did this talk about it. And I started doing this thing called tiny challenges, or just do one tiny thing every day. I wanted to write more. And instead of just saying, I want to write more, I started doing it. I sit down, I woke up 30 minutes earlier every day, and I said, whatever I write today, I'm going to do a 30 days every day. I'm going to write one thing, one piece of gratitude for one person that has done something impactful in my life that means something to me. And I just wrote, I wrote every day for 30 days. And that was kind of like the beginning of it all for me. And eventually, like, it just opened all these doors. I started coaching. I started giving more talks about this no excuses thing all over the world. I was invited to speak and still do conferences all over the world. It's awesome. But, you know, it just started by doing and putting your stuff out there so like people can see it and share it. And you put it out there and not everybody's going to like it. But anyway, so yeah, I guess to answer your question, when I lost my dad, that was a really, really big 180 for me. I couldn't do what I was doing anymore. And it really shifted my focus and kind of reset me to what is important right now. What can you be doing with your life? And it's opened all these crazy paths ever since.
It's taking that leap. But in your story, it's truly devastating that that had to happen. And my condolences to you. But that had to happen to make that shift. Because you said back when you were a kid, like your dad and your parents really tried to teach you that like life is short. If you're not doing what you enjoy, then do something else.
Right, right.
And but then it was how many years later that then it's finally like, no, that's actually what I need to do. And now life has opened up for you.
Yeah. And that's what's funny is like, I feel like I made this really conscious decision. Like, I want to be a designer. I went to school for metal sculpture and then I was like, I want to do web design. And then I decided to do it and I did it for 12 years and I did it and for maybe 3 years there, the last 3 years until I really hit that burnout and said, you know what? Like, what am I doing? Because things change, right? Like, our perspective on life changes as we age and life situations change and, you know, maybe loss happens and it takes something like that sometimes to kind of jar you awake and say, what are you doing? Like, don't waste time. You don't have time to waste. You could die tomorrow. Are you spending time with your kids? Are you really, you know, is this what you want to be making and putting out into the world? Is this what you want to spend your time doing? And when the answer is no, then you have to make a change. And, you know, I think it did take my dad. I did enjoy my work a lot. But when really faced with that question, like, is this really what you want to be spending your time on? The answer was just no. And it was time for me to kind of self-check. And, you know, I recommend checking in with yourself monthly on stuff. I used to say yearly. I don't think yearly is nearly enough. I think things change very fast. And be open to change and willing to change, because change is where it's at.
I agree. 1 year used to seem like it could be a long enough time, but it's way too much changes in a year to me. Like I can't even set goals out a year anymore. Like a quarter or two quarters is like, I have no idea. And I love the fact that I have no idea in 2 quarters from now, like in 6 months, what I'll be doing.
You know what? That's so funny because I've done like 3 series of talks. So I did like Through Burnout and Back Again. And then the next year I did No Excuses. And it's kind of like outlines my journey. And then like last year, 2016, I don't want to say accidentally launched a company, but kind of. I accidentally launched a company and it went viral. Like I posted about this idea that some friends and I, my boyfriend and my friend Iggy, had this, like Ken and I had this idea. And we made it real. Iggy helped us bring it to life. He did the design, the website. And so we had this sort of beta test proof of concept. It would work. We could make sales. And then so it was ready to share with the world. And we're like, okay. We spent like 10 months doing it in our free time, you know, our side time, a little passion project. And one morning, August 17th, 2016, I post this tweet. I'm like, hey, check out this thing some friends and I made. picturethisclothing.com. And then by the end of the day, crazy enough, we got a write up in TechCrunch just from that one tweet. So that happened. I mean, but that's like, if you're excited about doing stuff, and the story there is pretty amazing too, that led up to that moment. But that moment, if I hadn't shifted my course a few years ago, I may have never given myself the space needed for that idea to even happen.
Right, exactly. And that goes across the board, I think, for everyone and for all of us. And I think some of us, we all realize it, but after we've started doing it, it's really hard, I think, to not be doing that and to think that, but if I do start just doing the things I want to do and the things that drive me, that doors will open. Because we can't even imagine the doors that will open until they've opened. And then you're like, wow, there's no way I could have just imagined that that tweet would lead to TechCrunch. Like, right. You wouldn't wake up in the morning thinking that. You'd be delirious if you did.
Right. And if you'd ask me in July of last year, do you think you'll ever run a clothing company? My answer would have been like, no way. Are you crazy? I have no aspirations or idea that I would, you know, no, that wouldn't have been a thing that was even on my radar. But so, here I am.
I don't mean to interrupt, Jamie, but while we're on the topic of radars, I want to talk about Brand 24. Because what if you could discover what people are saying about you and your business in real time? What if you could have potential customers on your radar? The data doesn't lie. 80% of consumers now do research or ask online before making a buying decision. Brand 24 gives you the listening tools to find these leads, identify where to promote products, and find customers before they find you. Brand 24 enables you to reach customers so you can react and engage quickly to real-time comments about your brand. Now's your chance to find out why over 100,000 companies use Brand 24 to monitor the web. Give it a try with your 14-day free trial. And as a Hack the Entrepreneur listener, you can get an exclusive 50% off your first 3 months. To get your free trial, go to brand24.com/hack. That's brand24.com/hack and get started today. All right, let's get back to the conversation with Jamie. Right. And so before we get too far with this, Jamie, we do need to hear this sort of story. So the tweet, but before this, like this idea of this clothing company, it came from somewhere. It came from, like you say, like don't just talk about it, do it. But what was it sort of? Let's hear this story, can we?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for asking. So, you know, I had carved out this way of owning my time. I worked from home. And this was like, I'd quit my job after my burnout. And, you know, so like 2014, I want to say December 2014. But I was home. My kids were home. It was December, winter break. Kids are home for 2 weeks. You got to find stuff for them to do. And I was working. I was doing a lot of coaching work at the time. So most of it I could do from Skype, from my computer at home. And I don't know, my daughter comes up with this drawing that she drew of a dress. And she's like, Mom, look at this amazing drawing. And, you know, like as a parent, I don't know if you're a parent, John.
I am.
But do kids bring you drawings?
Ever had that happen?
So my kids are super into drawing. And so I have like bazillions of papers from school. And anyway, she brings me this drawing. And I'm like, oh, yay, a rainbow dress. But I look at it and I go, you know what? It's Christmas break. We need something cool to do. I bet I could make that. I have like 4-H level sewing skills. I have a sewing machine I haven't used in a couple years. Let's bust that baby out and let's make that dress. So we drive to the fabric store. We spend about $75 worth of fabric and materials. And across the next 3 days, I spend about 12 hours. I pattern this dress based on the drawing. And in like the third day, she puts it on and she says exactly this. She goes, oh, I'm wearing my imagination. And I'm just like, holy crap, that's amazing. But that was not the aha moment, just for what it's worth.
Okay.
that was the aha moment. That was an amazing moment. And I wish every parent could have that moment, because it's so cool to see your kid just delighted with what they designed from their mind, right? We brought it to life. But over time, so she wears this dress everywhere for like 3 months. You have to peel it off her body to wash it. It's just like everywhere we go, she's wearing this brightly, like amazing Technicolor dream dress. And, you know, everywhere we go, people are like, oh my gosh, that is amazing. Where did you get that dress? And she's like, I came up with it. It's in my imagination. It was my idea. And so my boyfriend, you know, we go everywhere together. Like he's like, holy cow, you have something here. You should do something with this. And I was like, I am not going to do what I did for her dress for kids everywhere. Like, I don't want to become a seamstress. And it was a lot of work. Like it was a lot of work to pattern a drawing and reproduce that, you know, and hers was fairly simple and it took me 12 hours. I can't even imagine the ideas that kids have that would be so difficult. Anyway, so, you know, we kind of put it on the shelf and a couple months pass by and Ken comes back to me and he goes, I think I got it. I think I know how we could turn that idea into a viable business. And he says, what if we didn't recreate it, but they actually wore the drawing? If they actually like, you know, the coloring strokes, everything, if we use sublimation printing and we scale it up into something they can wear. And so that was it. That was the aha moment. And it was like, oh my God, we can do this. This makes sense. That one stuck. So
whoa.
we decided what the shape would be. It would be an A-line tank dress for girls to start. And just to prove, we had to prove the concept. Would anybody even want to do this? He came up with a coloring sheet. It looks like a, you know, simple coloring book sheet that any kid who's ever colored in a coloring book could do. Grown-ups could do it too. It doesn't matter. We're not picky. But we started with like a size 3 toddler size or a size 2 toddler size all the way up to size 18. We ended up prototyping this thing. We got some help and put it out there. And that really ended up being it. And then we posted this tweet. So across 10 months and getting some help and prototyping. And there was a lot of time and a lot of struggle in there along the way. And a lot of like, oh, is this even worth it? But we were doing our other things along the side. You know, Ken is he has a pretty successful app for Reddit. It's called Narwhal, and a little plug there.
No, but he has Narwhal?
Yeah, he's the other half of Narwhal.
That's awesome. You know, I'm a Reddit junkie, sorry, but that's
oh, wow. That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, him and Rick, it's a two-guy team that
crazy.
Does Narwhal. So yeah, so he's half of Narwhal. He was working on that. I was doing my coaching, no problem, writing and speaking and podcasting and all kinds of stuff. And Iggy, who we asked him if he'd be interested in doing a website for this, he's also a father of two very small children. And he was like, oh my gosh, this is a great idea. Sure, I'll do it. You just have to, you know, bear with me while he runs a design shop called Menno Design, M-E-N-O. And yeah, so we did this over 10 months. We put it all together. Finally, like July, Iggy's like, hey, the site's done. It's ready for you guys to test it. We got 5 beta testers to test it. Friends who had kids, they would be willing to try it and print out the sheet from the website, color it, take a smartphone photo of it, upload it to the website, and place the order. And, you know, we had a few tweaks to make after those 5 people did that. We made the tweaks. We posted that tweet, you know, 6 a.m. on August 17th and everything. Nothing has been the same since.
Yeah. But I mean, it's an amazing story. I love how you sort of came up with the idea just for your daughter, and then it sort of simmered for a couple of months, and then you figured out how it could actually be done. But just please tell me that you guys didn't sit around, 3 of you, after and like this grand marketing scheme, you're like mapping it all out for a month, and all it was tweet at 6 a.m. Because
no,
I'm assuming you had more thought, like what would have happened if that tweet didn't do anything? Like 99.99999% of tweets ever do is nothing.
Right. That's, you know, what's funny is this was literally just an idea to see what would happen if. And, you know, it wasn't like we had very low expectations. We were like, that'd be really cool if we sold one. And can you imagine if we sold 10 a month? And then, you know, like after that TechCrunch article, Disney's Babbel.com picked it up. So it was like every day for 7 days, something new picked us up. And it was like the first day it was the TechCrunch thing. And the second day I got a call from Disney's Babbel.com, which is like a parenting blog. And then the third day we were on Product Hunt, which was super cool. And then like the next day, some company from Germany wanted to do a Skype interview. And so they did a Skype interview, and then they made this video. And like, they didn't launch that video for like the next week or two. It went live the Sunday before Labor Day, which was like 2 weeks later. And when they did that, when they launched that video, it went viral on Facebook. It had 3 million views in less than 24 hours. And the next day, Labor Day, we did almost $10,000 in sales. So we were like, okay, concept has been proven. But, you know, what would we have done if none of that happened? I don't know. I kind of think we would have just kept doing our own thing. And then, you know, if people, we would have left the doors open, the storefront on it, maybe done a little advertising. But we didn't really plan for that scenario. Like, honestly, this was a side project. If nothing happened with it, we were okay with that because we were doing other things that we really cared about. But that something happened with it. I was actually, at the time that we launched, I had accepted a job a few months earlier. I was remote, but I had accepted a position as COO at MartianCraft, which is a mobile app dev company. And I was COO over there. And, you know, so I had a pretty good gig going. And then we launched this, and I lasted until about November of last year. And I had too much. I couldn't do a full-time job and a full-time job and be a mom. And I couldn't manage it anymore. And so, yeah, I brought on some help for packing and shipping. I brought on some help for customer service. And so I wasn't doing all that on my own. Ken, we brought on another person for image processing to help Ken. And man, it was just, it's been crazy.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I quit my job in November again, and I focus on this full time now.
It's 100% the reason why when you have an idea, you should put it out into the world. because it doesn't have to have this huge plan behind it. It can still take off. That's what the internet allows us. That's amazing.
It's amazing. I love it. It really is. That's really, like, well said, John. Like,
I never wanted to be a podcaster. I was talked into it, and I said, I'll do 30 episodes, that's it, and now 400 episodes hits in, like, next month.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Well, it's just how it works. It's like, I never in my lifetime would have thought I'd be a podcaster. I hate the sound of my voice. It's just how it is. And now it's like, well, now you're a podcaster. This is what you do.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love those stories, though, too. It's like, you know, sometimes you don't know. You know, I think this is a funny thing, too. I know people, you know, entrepreneurs who they've known what they wanted to do since they were a kid, or they do a bunch of different stuff, always have. I've actually never had any idea what I want to be when I grow up. Like, no idea. I still don't know if this is the thing that I'll do for the rest of my life. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I have a lot of things I like doing, and I just like, I like doing. I like doing things. I like trying things. I call myself a professional experimenter. That's what I do. It's fun. I think life should be fun. And if it's not, you're doing it wrong.
Professional experimenter. I like that. But so the fun part sometimes ends in a business once TechCrunch, Product Hunt, all these things die down. Have you had to now in this time create a marketing plan? Do you have to go out and seek customers now, or are they just, has the tide just shifted and now customers just keep coming?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And, you know, it's been kind of an interesting thing. For the first, I want to say, let's see, until about March. So we launched in August. And it went viral with that video, first of all, that video that launched before Labor Day. And then people kept picking up on things. Like, we had Ashton Kutcher, he posted about us on his Facebook, and George Takei posted about us on his Facebook. And, you know, like, all of these things, like, but these happened, like one happened in October, one happened in November. And then, you know, not much happened in December as far as it going viral, other than, like, we were on the Harry Connick Jr. show, which is super trippy. That they flew us out to New York and we were on his show, and they flew us out to LA to do something with Michaela on the HLN network. And, wow. You know, so like Amy Poehler's Smart Girls invited us out to do an interview. And so, like, people were making content for us. People, every video that's out there, we didn't make a single one of them. Every, Crazy. You know, I do Facebook Live videos and stuff all the time. I've done a few YouTube things now, but it not as a marketing, like, we're going to make an advertisement or anything like that. And we got reamed too by customers, people, for not having products for boys. Like, we launched with dresses. We wanted to test the concept. We didn't know, you know, is it worth the time? Because it costs money and time to pattern and design things to the way that we do stuff. And it would have been very expensive and very time consuming to invest in t-shirts for launch. So we thought, let's just try it with dresses. Let's see how it goes. And if the market's there, the market will tell us if we need t-shirts. And the market told us, and we launched t-shirts in February, and awesome. You know, it's great. And then we launched adult sizes at the same time. So we do grown-up stuff too. But yeah, it's just the marketing plan thing. It kind of kept going. And then in around March, we saw things start to settle. And, you know, the viral stuff stopped happening, which was, it's kind of sad when that happens. You get this, like, crazy, like, surfing wave going, and it just kept happening over and over. And, you know, we were doing great in sales. And then March, it started to slow down. And then April slowed down even more. The summer was really slow, but it was, like, slow, but still sustainable, right? Like, if that was the lowest we ever do in sales, we can still run this company and it'll be all right. And then August, return to school, back to school stuff, it picked up a little bit. September, it dropped a little bit. And then October, it's holiday season. Like, we're back in business. You know, it's like, and then things have just taken off again. And it's crazy. And so with advertising, like, yes, we've had to do more. We started spending money in around June on advertising. We didn't spend, I think I accidentally spent like $20 on Facebook in January of last year, because I was trying to figure out the ad interface so I know what to do. And I was like, oh my God, I accidentally launched that. And then I realized and turned it off. And so I'd spent $20. And I was like, oh no. But then in June, we actually started doing, we found that, it's funny, we launched on Twitter, you know, like, Twitter was where my platform was. That's where my audience was always. And I don't have a huge audience. I had like 10,000 followers at the time, but it's funny, but we have like very few, we only have like 500 followers on Twitter on our Picture This Clothing account. But on Facebook, we have like 32,000 followers. So, like, Facebook is where our audience is. And Instagram, people like us on Instagram, people like us on Facebook. But in Twitter, it's kind of like, whatever. It's so funny to me. So we've learned where our audience is. We've learned a lot in the last year.
You have to. Once the virality of it drops off, you have to figure out where everybody is and then
exactly and exactly and keep talking to them and keep things fresh and new. And like, we do a lot of tutorials. We do these Facebook Live tutorials all the time. We've used everything from peanut butter and jelly to, you know, it's not just crayons. We get that question all the time. Why would I pay $49 plus shipping for something that I could do with fabric markers on a $5 t-shirt? Well, I can answer that question. You can do way more. It's like, if your imagination is limited to what you can do with crayons, then that's all you're going to get. But like, we've literally done like peanut butter and jelly, Play-Doh. I created like a Play-Doh recreation of Van Gogh's Starry Night. I actually recreated my Iron Maiden Killers t-shirt out of Play-Doh as well. Whoa. And photographed that. I'm a huge Iron Maiden fan.
I just saw Iron Maiden for the first time in July.
Oh my gosh. It oh,
blew my mind. That's I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's...
No, that is a worthwhile topic. No, that's so awesome. So yeah, I did. I have a Eddie the Head Killers in Play-Doh version.
Wow.
I'll have to share that with you later.
You will. That's awesome.
But yeah, you can do so much with this stuff. And the stuff that we've seen our customers do, it is absolutely mind-blowing what kids come up with, what grown-ups come up with. People have used photography and real things like Hot Wheels and, you know, little objects and things, favorite things, stuffed animals, real animals. People have used everything. It's so cool. It's just, it's endless. It's endless with the creativity, what can be done with these things. It's awesome.
I love it. All right, Jamie. Well, this has been an awesome conversation that I've thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. I would like to wrap up on one final question for you, if I could, though.
Absolutely.
It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. It seems as entrepreneurs, as experimenters, as dreamers, that we're always sort of projecting our goals, our successes, where we want to be into the future. Meaning that in 3 months when you hit that revenue metric, or 6 months when you stand on that stage that you're dreaming of, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Yet, Jamie, both you and I know that seconds before you hit that or stand on that stage, you're going to wish for the next bigger stage. Just how we work, and it's what pushes us forward. I agree, we need it. But I would love, rather than looking forward for this moment, if you could stop and turn around and look behind you. You started this at 12 years old, washing dishes. You've had some serious highs. You've had some brutal lows. But if you could just tell me, how do you feel about this whole kind of insane journey all the way up until today?
I love that question. I love looking back at the sort of the footprints that you've left. I think it's one of the most important reasons it is to put things out into the world, is because you leave footprints. And you know what? I have to say, like, I feel pretty darn good, especially with this, with Picture This Clothing. Like, I get to see smiles. Like, kids are happy. They're designing their things. We're seeing uniqueness. We're seeing originality. We're allowing people to walk through that process. Like, and I know you're talking more comprehensively, but where my path has led me is this amazing moment that I can't get enough of. Every piece that I look at, I'm literally surrounded by unicorns and rainbows every day. And I can't ask for a happier thing than that. I don't know. Maybe I didn't really answer your question, but man, to be in this moment where I'm surrounded by unicorns and rainbows every day, that's a pretty amazing path.
That is a pretty amazing path. And it's true, those footprints. And it's true, like what you say with products, anything I've sort of created as a kid and put out into the world in some way, no matter how small or how few people it reached, it's there as like this catalyst of who I was at that moment in time, which is a really good feeling looking back.
It really is, man. And gratitude, just gratitude for what you've done and the opportunities that you had. And I don't know, hardships make you stronger, you know?
I agree. Yeah. So we've talked about Picture This Clothing throughout this conversation, Jamie, but can you specifically tell the listener now exactly what it is, who it's for, and where we can find it online?
Absolutely. So it's picturethisclothing.com. And it allows you to wear your imagination. You print out a coloring template, color anything you want on that coloring template, take a smartphone photo, make sure it's well lit, evenly lit, upload it to our website with your order information. You can do a dress or a t-shirt. You can be any size, from tiny to toddler to an extra, extra, extra large adult. We cover a huge range of sizes there. And we send it back to you ready to wear.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it. Picturethisclothing.com. I'll link to that in the show notes on the site when for you to track down, as well as jamiejamie.com is your personal website. I'm going to track down that original TechCrunch article for everyone so you can see where, I'm not going to say where this started, because it started before then with you actually taking the action to do it, but that's where sort of the virality of it, as well as some of the things we talked about, like that narwhal app, like, geez, maybe this Eddie Killer's made out of Play-Doh, and Menno Design, that Iggy runs as well. On the side now, I'm not sure how those things work. When a business like this sort of takes over your life. But that will all be there for you, listener, when you're done walking, jogging, working out, whatever it is you're doing at this moment. Jamie, once again, thank you so much for stopping by. Thanks for sharing so openly. I really do appreciate it. And please, I don't know, just keep doing what you're doing, because it's truly awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you so, so much. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate you hearing my story.
All right. So as much fun as I had taking part in that conversation, I'm really looking forward to this part of the episode. Let's go back. Are you ready? All right, let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Because things change, right? Like, our perspective on life changes as we age, and life situations change, and, you know, maybe loss happens, and it takes something like that sometimes to kind of jar you awake and say, what are you doing? Like, don't waste time. You don't have time to waste. You could die tomorrow. Are you spending time with your kids? Are you really, you know, is this what you want to be making and putting out into the world? Is this what you want to spend your time doing?
And that's the hack. Jamie, Jamie, Jamie. I love this. I don't love the reason why this happened to you, but I love this for sharing it to you out there listening. Right? We change, our perspectives change, but sometimes we don't make the conscious decision to design our lives so that we're doing the things that we enjoy doing. We're not creating the things that we want to be creating and putting out into the world. So in Jamie's case, it was her father passing away. It was this thing where she realized that life was just too short. There's no time to waste doing the things you don't want to do. Because sometimes there isn't next week to do it or next year to do the things that you want to do. So you might as well be doing them now. And I know that, sure, that can be idealistic in some ways. And you can think, well, I can't just do whatever I want because I have all these responsibilities, which we do. We all have those, especially as we get older and we have kids and families. And it's part of it. But you still have to consciously make these choices to start doing things that you want to be doing. And that doesn't necessarily mean just quitting your job and just disavowing all responsibility, but it is creating these things that you want to be putting into the world, doing things to push you closer to things you want to be creating and doing and making. It's funny how we can change so quickly. Our whole perspective can change when something dramatic happens in our lives. Yet, without that thing happening sometimes, we're afraid to make that change. I'm hoping that with this and with what Jamie just said, that you can consciously, from this point, use it as like a fork in the road where now you start choosing, in the smallest way if it has to be, to do the things that you want to be doing. And to be doing things and spending time doing what you want to be doing. Jamie, thank you so very much. All right, well, that wraps us up yet again. It's been fun. I really, really, truly appreciate you stopping by. Hacktheentrepreneur.com, as you know, is the website. If you're not on the email list, get onto the email list. I have some really cool stuff coming in the new year for you. And you can also get my book for free there if you have not yet. Plus, we'll have Jamie's show notes over there and a link to everything that it was we were talking about, including that if you are an Iron Maiden fan or if you're not, the Play-Doh Eddie from Iron Maiden that Jamie had made and then turned it into a shirt. She sent me a picture and we'll get a link to that there for you. You should really check this out. All right, it's been fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really, truly do appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.